Well, I can assure you that your evening is nearly over, and after the excitement of the African choir and that great report from the work in Zimbabwe, they've got the drab Irishman up to the front to make sure that everybody clears out and goes home. So don't worry, I won't keep you too long. If you do have a Bible with you, and if you'd like to follow along, you can begin by opening it to Genesis chapter 12, and if you don't have a Bible with you, that is fine. As has been mentioned by Eric already, this evening what we're doing is we're beginning our weekend of missionary focus. And the title of that weekend is My Challenge Mission. My Challenge Mission, and that's what we're going to think about. But this evening we're going to think about one aspect of that challenge mission. And that aspect is the nations. And you'll see that on the slide behind me. My Challenge, the nations. Because this is an integral part of our challenge mission. And it's exactly what we've been celebrating here tonight with the food that we've enjoyed, with the songs that we have heard, with the report from Africa as well. And so as we begin this weekend, as we begin to think about mission and our challenge in mission, I want us to begin by taking a brief overview, one big snapshot of mission in Scripture. So I want you to look at this slide, and on this slide in the background we have a light shining in a dark place. And the trajectory of mission throughout Scripture is somewhat like this light in the dark room. See, it begins very narrow. It begins at its source, and the light is narrow. But as it proceeds, as it continues, well, it ends quite broadly at the top of the screen. It ends quite broadly. And mission is shaped in this way throughout Scripture. See, it begins very narrow. In fact, it begins with one man. And as it proceeds, it begins to get rather broad until it doesn't only begin with one man, but it ends with every nation. So we're going to begin by looking at how it begins in Genesis chapter 12. Allow me to read three verses from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Christopher Wright, in his book, The Mission of God, suggests that this is a pivotal text, that these three verses are pivotal, and that they're pivotal not only in Genesis, but in Scripture as a whole. It's a very famous passage, and I'm sure many of you know the story. But for those who don't, what we see in verse 1 is God calling a man. He's calling a man, Abram. And Abram's asked, or more accurately, he's commanded to leave his family, to leave his country, to leave his people. He's commanded to leave everything that he knows and to venture into a land which is unknown. In verse 2 of this, we see also the focus on just one man, Abram. God says that he will make Abram a great nation. That he will make Abram, he will bless Abram, and that he will make Abram's name great. And so God has singled out one person here in these three verses. And then in the final verse that I read, we see that we're given a glimpse of the future. All the families of the earth will be blessed in or through Abram. And the importance of this text is highlighted further by one of our own members here at Victoria Street, Dr. James McCune. Because in his commentary on Genesis, he mentions that there's five instances of cursing which happens in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. From 1 to 11, cursing occurs five times. Yet here in Genesis 3, 1 to 12, we see blessing occur five times. And so here what we see is God is beginning to put right everything that has went wrong in the first 11 chapters of Genesis. He's beginning to put everything right, and this is where God's mission begins. This mission begins with one man, and it begins with God speaking to this one man, Abram. Yet the trajectory and mission broadens after that. Initially, it doesn't broaden all that much. This glimpse of the future that we mentioned in verse 3 is soon lost between the patriarchs and the kings. And while there's flashes of this future of blessing for everyone in the Psalms and the prophets, it does remain quite narrow throughout the Old Testament. This one man, Abraham, does develop into more men, yet those men constitute one nation, the nation of Israel. And even though there's people outside of Israel who are included in this mission at different times, Rahab, Ruth, and Naaman, it still remains quite narrow throughout the Old Testament. However, there are some glimpses of this. As I mentioned, they're in the Psalms and the Prophets. Psalm 98, listen to hear the word nations or all the earth in this psalm. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Once we make it to the prophets, we read in Ezekiel that God says this, and the nations will know that I am the Lord. However, it still remains relatively narrow. Even in Jesus' ministry, as the Son of God comes to earth, it continues to remain narrow. In Matthew 10, a passage which we'll consider tomorrow, Jesus tells his disciples to avoid telling the Gentiles or to avoid telling the nations the gospel, but to take it only to Israel. Yet all of this changes with Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension. Because in the book of Acts, then Jesus commissions his disciples to go beyond the borders of Israel. We see that both Peter and Paul spent time preaching the gospel, this great gospel of the death of Christ, to the nations. They spend time preaching this to the Gentiles. And finally, the response to this is found in Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. Let me read two verses from that. After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." This is a scene which is taking place in heaven. And it's here that we then see the mission of God at its broadest. Because there is a countless multitude gathered before the throne and the Lamb. But it's not just the number of people that lends itself to the broadness of God's mission at this point. It's the fact that they are from every nation. That is, all tribes, peoples, and languages. There's no nation that is not represented before the throne and the Lamb. And more than that, the fact that they are clothed in white and that they're waving palm branches speaks of the purity, victory, and celebration which they are engaged in. And all of that is summed up in their cry, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And this scene undoubtedly continues to stress the present throughout Revelation is the stress on universal mission of the church and of God. Warren Wiersbe said that you cannot read the book of Revelation without developing a global outlook. And I believe he's right, because here we see the mission of God at its broadest, as every nation, all peoples, tribes, and languages are seen before the throne. And so the trajectory of mission throughout Scripture is like this beam of light behind me. It begins narrow. In fact, it begins with one man. Yet it ends extremely broad with every nation. But what does this trajectory of mission have to do with tonight? So what? What do we do with it? Well, I think that there's three things which we should do, some of which we'll explore tomorrow. The first thing is that I believe that there is still this call to go. There's this call to go to the nations, to take the gospel to the nations. But we will consider that more tomorrow. Secondly, it lays on us the responsibility to pray for the nations. There are those who have went. There are those who live there, who preach the gospel. And there's a burden on us to pray for those nations. But thirdly, and this is the one that I want us to take home with us this evening. This trajectory of mission throughout Scripture tells us that we should welcome the nations. Every nation will be represented in heaven before the throne. And so it follows that all contact that we have with the nations, well, it can be interpreted as a little foretaste of heaven. Therefore, we should welcome the nations. Their diversity, their uniqueness, their color, their flavor, their flair, it should all be welcomed. And I think that it should be welcomed on three levels. Beginning with the broadest, I think that we should welcome them to our country. As we see the nations arrive in Northern Ireland, well, there's a great opportunity with that. And I think that we as Christians need to be very careful in our attitude towards their arrival. This is a blessing to have our horizons broadened and our comfort zones stretched. And we should be careful that we don't join the UKIP bandwagon with our approach to them. We should welcome this diversity. Yet it's not enough just to do that on that level. We must bring it in a slightly smaller scale, and we must think of our church. And with regard to the church, we must welcome the nations. Now, I know that this happens here in Great Victoria Street Baptist, and so don't worry, I'm not going to berate you on it. Rather, I want to encourage you on it because that is a great aspect to this church. And we only need to look around us this evening to see the international flavor of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church. And to have the nations represented in our church is yet again another blessing, but is also a great honor. And so we must welcome them. Now this means that some things may have to change, that some elements of our church life will be altered slightly, and that we'll have to try some new food and some new challenges will come our way. But that is the point. Because in mission, part of the challenge is the nations. And yet we can take this down another level. Because we must welcome the nations into our own lives. Those who come from a different nation from us, well, we must integrate them into our lives. It's okay to see them in Belfast. It's okay to say hi to them in church on a Sunday. But to really benefit, we need to have them involved in our personal lives. So ask yourself this evening, when's the last time that you spent an evening with someone who didn't grow up in the same culture that you did? Because this is our eternal future as Christians. To stand shoulder to shoulder with people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, before the throne and before the Lamb. Shouldn't we get a bit of practice in now while we can? I think I mentioned this last year whenever Tracy and I came and shared about our time in Zimbabwe. But when we went to Zimbabwe, we flew with Fly Emirates. And part of their advertising campaign for their rewards program had this tagline: The more of our world we see, the richer we become. Now, obviously, they're talking about fly further and get more air miles back. But we can take this and use it for ourselves. The more of our world we see, the richer we become. This is true. And the great thing about Belfast and about Northern Ireland and about Great Victoria Street Baptist is that we don't always have to go very far to experience our world. And every moment spent with someone from a different culture is a moment that we benefit from. And so this evening, as we celebrate the international flavour of Great Victoria Street Baptist Church, we're tasting a little bit of heaven. Not the food, although it was good, but the company, the time with each other. And so the mission of God began back in Genesis in chapter 12 with a man named Abram. But it will end in Revelation 7 with the people from every nation, from all tribes, peoples, and languages gathered before the throne on which God sits and before the Lamb who died for them. And we are part of that great mission. And so as we begin our weekend with the theme, My Challenge Mission, we know that it includes My Challenge, the Nations. And may we take that home with us this evening. May we remember that. And may we act on that.